You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. My name is Drew. Joining me as always is the king size candy bars to my bag of pennies, my dear friend Andy.
What's up, Drew? How you doing, man?
I am excellent, Andy. How are you?
Doing great, man. My parents are in town. It was my daughter's birthday today.
Having a great night, man. Happy birthday to Greta. What, two years old?
2 years old now.
Wow.
We took her to the waffle window.
What'd she think?
Dude, she got down on some strawberry waffles, man. That place rules.
Yeah. Did she eat it with her hands?
Parts of it, yeah, definitely. But she's pretty good with a fork, man.
Really? Yeah. Pretty dexterous.
Yeah. The main thing, though, with her is, like, walking around on Hawthorne Street is super dangerous. Because she just wants to run in the street. Cause she's a daredevil. So you got to watch her.
She'll just take off?
Yeah, she'll be running next to you and she'll look back at you and then she just wants to run out in the street.
She has no fear, huh?
None.
Well, I don't know her well, but she seems like a very collected and calm customer. So maybe she knows what she's doing.
Yeah, she might be bound to something there.
She's two now, so maybe it's time to cut the cord a little bit.
Yeah.
Send her on her way. But yeah, that's awesome. And it's almost summertime, you know?
That's right.
I've got a busy week, and then it's my summer lull. I finished up my class, finished up teaching tonight, so the whole summer's opening up.
That's fantastic.
Now we just have to get warm. Andy, our silent partner Nate, is with us, as he is each and every week, making the sound happen, and he does a fine job this week.
That's so right.
You're in for a treat. Joining us this week is our new good friend Trox.
Who's
actually sitting in on the intro, which is a rare treat for us.
Yeah, yes,
I am sitting in on the intro right now, and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
I just came back from Roseburg this morning. I'm going to tell you this right now. The property I was at is beautiful. It's my, you know, it's my parents' crib. My brother just graduated high school last week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. The property is right in front of the Umpqua River, so like I'll just go into the backyard and boom, the river is right there.
Oh, beautiful.
Other than that, Southern Oregon really sucks ass.
I just drove through
some of the highest quality tweakers I've ever seen in my life are from the Southern Oregon area.
Well, I was in Ashland, and what's the town really close to Ashland, like just north?
Medford.
My band played a show in Medford to an empty house, so that was fine. But I wasn't a huge fan of those two towns. Don't want to shit on anybody's hometown.
Hey, man. I've had a lot of fun in Ashland and Jacksonville, man.
Roseburg,
the area around Roseburg, beautiful. Didn't actually stop in the town, but
yeah, Roseburg sucks ass, man.
Well, I'll tell you what doesn't suck ass is this week's episode of Hot Garbage. Trox, you were here. We were talking, you know, we were just kind of talking music for like an hour and playing some great songs. You got a lot on your plate, so there's a lot of things for people to check out of yours. I want to make sure that everyone follows you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, checks out your website, checks out SoundCloud. There's a ton of places to find what you're up to and the music you're making. So I want to encourage everybody to do that. Definitely worth your time. And we just talked about your evolution as an artist and kind of where you see your career going and how you're heading that direction. So had a lot of fun.
Right on, man. And make sure you check out Mic Check every last Thursday at the White Eagle.
Yep. Yeah.
They got their 1 year anniversary coming up. It's a fantastic lineup. Make sure you hit that show.
Yeah. Which is this year it'll be on what, the 20 or this month it's the 26th, I believe.
The
29th at White Eagle here in Portland. So check out Trox. He'll be there and enjoy our conversation on this week's episode of Hot Garbage.
I took a fidget spinner one time. I put that shit on my nose, right? And I bounced that shit for like 20 seconds. I thought I was the coolest motherfucker in the world.
Now there's all these things coming out that you can get lead poisoning from fidget spinners, and they have low levels of radiation.
Are they still made from lead?
They're just made in like Chinese factories that don't give a fuck.
Bro, we're getting lead poisoning in our fucking water.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah. Just I wouldn't chew on a fidget spinner if I were you.
It's time to bring lead back. You know,
we need more lead.
Yeah, make America great again,
like
bro.
That brain damage that we had for, you know, 40 years.
Well, if you have a little bit of lead in you, your body fights back against it and becomes stronger.
That's what I've heard.
So you just have to.
Hey, man, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. You feel me?
Yeah.
Right. Scientifically, it's proven.
Yeah, man.
Until
it gets you.
Exactly.
Yep. You got to ride that razor's edge.
Trox, you remember your first DJ set? Your first live DJ set?
My first live DJ set. I started DJing in middle school, right? But I didn't really actually DJ parties. Like, I was just working on my skills and shit. I was trying to be, like, I was trying to be Q-Bert and, like, the executioners and shit. You know, that's not me. You know what I'm saying? I can't really scratch like that. But, you know, my first actual DJ set was with Reverend Shines of Lifesavers.
Nice. Yeah.
That's basically one of my mentors. He does a thing called Supper Set. At this point, it was every Tuesday night, and I would just bring a crate of records, and I would just play like soul shit. Like, I'd have, like, you know, The Miracles, Smokey Robinson, Bootsy Collins, Psych Records, you know, like, I'll bring, like, you know, I'll bring whatever that rap songs were sampling.
Right.
And yeah. I would just make like a mix. You know what I'm saying? I would just like, just, you know, just play shit that was sampled. And that's basically what Supper Set became. And he still does it every Thursday. He still does it on Thursday nights at Produce Row.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Colton Tong.
Yeah. Shout out to my guy Colton, man. You know, that's, I would spin with him too.
Yeah, man. Those guys got the deepest crates. They know every old soul album. It's crazy.
Hell yeah. Nah, that, I think, I forgot who said it. It was Wajid. It was Wajid that called Reverend Shines a crazy fucking Dilla nerd. But, yo, it's true. Like, he literally got damn near every record that he sampled.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, have y'all heard the Today's Good News series?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
so cool.
Like, I would clean my room and do my laundry to it every time.
Yeah.
Like, nah, it just puts me in a good mood. It's called Today's Good News for a reason. Like, and the way he blended all of that was crazy.
So I'm pretty shocked to hear middle school is when this all gets started, because I feel like most people, like, who love music when they're little kids or, like, become guitar players or singers or drummers or something like that. How did you get into the production side and the DJing side at such a young age?
Production really came right after DJing. I downloaded a copy of Fruity Loops one day. And,
oh, man, Fruity Loops. My high school had Fruity Loops.
I had Fruity Loops too, bro. Fucking Fruity Loops too. And, yo, like, my family could not keep me off of that shit.
Yeah.
And I had the demo version too, so I had to, like, finish it.
You had, like, six loops, yeah.
I had to finish it from start to finish, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
If I, like, exited out of the program, I lose everything. Everything was gone, right? So, like, I was making little remix tapes and shit. I lost everything. They were whack as fuck.
But how did you even find out about that?
Just going through forums and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Like, so you were hunting out this stuff.
I was hunting out this shit. Like, I really wanted to be a part of this. What made me want to do this, wanted me to be a producer, it was Dr. Dre's 2001 album.
Really?
That was the album. That was in 99. Mm-hmm. That was the album that got me into making beats, even though I didn't really get into it until like 2 years later. I was in fifth grade when that shit came out. Goddamn. Yeah, I was really into it very early.
Yeah, I mean, I was in high school when that one came out, but it was a formative record for everybody. Everybody, I mean, it just grabbed everybody, and it sounds beautiful.
It's one of my favorite records of all time.
Like, yeah, man, he sampled some amazing albums for that shit.
He did, but on top of all that, it was probably maybe the most well-mixed rap album of all time.
Like, yeah.
Everything had a pocket. If you turned it all the way up, it's not clipping. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, Dre's ear is impeccable. Like, nobody out there has an ear like him.
So, this is interesting to me because this is, like, a world that I'm totally blind to. Like, mm-hmm. I love hip-hop music, and I'm like, deeply respectful of that world, but I just have no information about it. So, right. what is, like, what's the artistic process like when you're making a beat from scratch? Like, what's your mind space when you're sitting down to write and create, and how are you translating that into beats?
It really depends. My normal process is I will go an entire day just looking through samples that, you know, I got from records, or my man Samurai actually makes samples for myself and other producers to flip. So, like, you know, I'll get a batch from him every month and I'll just go through those. I'll be like, hey, I could use this. I flip everything he makes. Like, his shit is incredible.
That's a fucking amazing resource. And a lot more producers are doing that nowadays instead of sampling shit or, like, writing their own music and sampling that. It's pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, there's so much, I mean, the legal issue can, like, really sink your song if you're not, like, getting rights to stuff.
Oh,
so you guys
yeah.
split it, right? So you got, or he does. Samurai splits
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
with
of course.
The artist.
I definitely split it with him. Samurai's damn near my best friend. So it's like you know, I am more than happy to get him paid.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You did a series of Facebook live videos with Samurai doing like live beat making.
Live beat making. It was cool. With Team Backpack, and, you know, I'd post it, and then I'd tag Team Backpack, and then Team Backpack would repost it, and like 5,000 people would be watching it.
That's awesome, man.
It's kind of
a lot more people are down to watch people make beats these days. You ever watch Rhythm Roulette?
Absolutely.
Do you ever pick records out yourself?
Yeah, I've done that. Absolutely. Nice. I'm actually trying to get on one.
Oh man, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Do you have a favorite of the series that everyone should watch?
I have a few. I got a few. I liked Big Crits.
Big Crits was really good.
Big Crit. I liked, for what he had, I liked Black Milk's.
Yeah, Black Milk got some bad records, but he made a pretty interesting beat.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Bink. Bink had a crazy one.
Bink's was really good, yeah.
That's one of my favorite producers right there. Bink and Knots. Knots, too, because, you know, he got some records, but the cool thing about Knots is he knows how to, like, flip the same record multiple ways. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he was able to make, like, what was that, six of them?
Yeah. He
six or seven
a ton.
Of them?
That's
yeah.
Crazy.
He's amazing. And you need to follow him on Instagram, Knots, N-O-T-T-Z, Da Ruler, D-A Ruler. Like, he posts everything he makes.
Nice.
Literally everything he makes.
You can't forget about that Ninth Wonder, though.
Oh, Ninth Wonders was crazy, too.
Absolute favorite. He's having so much fun. He just hears a sample, and he's just like, ooh.
Yeah.
That's the one. It's amazing.
That's how you should be. That's how you should be when you're making beats, mm-hmm. man.
Organized Noise was really cool because they recorded a bunch of cool instrumental stuff over top of it and did their thing.
That Tuxedo. Really cool. Tuxedo had a good one,
Tuxedo's was dope. Yeah. They told us some. They told you the secret about the keyboard. If you turn it off and hold down the stereo key, it'll turn into a mono. So you can play bass notes in mono because they sound better.
Yeah, they sure do. I don't like my bass sounding in stereo because it sounds flat to me.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds flat. Like, you have it in mono, everything is in one place. You know what I'm saying? So it sounds fatter.
Right. It's all right.
And there's no left and right in the sub. You know what I'm saying? There's no left and right in the sub frequencies. Like, it's just all in the bottom.
Right.
So you don't need that shit at all.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But we're jumping the gun a little bit. I want to get back to, you're sitting all day with samples. So it's you, it's 24 hours, it's a bunch of samples. What happens next? What are you looking for, listening for?
So, you know, the next week or two, I just flip them all. I make the foundations of them all. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Certain sounds that I like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I incorporate those in there. You know what I'm saying? And then 2 weeks after that, I polish them off and finish them. Like, I'll add keys and shit to them. Like, I'll mix them down. I'll make them sound like semi-complete songs.
Right. So is it intentional to give yourself that two-week break between sitting down with them? Is that to just, like, clear it out and then come back and still make sure it sounds right?
Yeah, like, I cannot stay on task for more than, like, 2 hours. I can't do it. Like, I can't finish a beat in one day. It's just not me. I just get tired of it and I go to the next one. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could make like 10 beats and 10 ideas in one day easily.
So the probably, like, is listening to the samples and, like, picking the sounds the best part for you?
Oh, that's like the most emotional part to me, just picking out the samples and then making the beats.
Okay, when you say emotional, are you meaning that you're listening for something that reflects how you feel, or you're trying to make other people feel a certain way?
Either or. Like, if I hear a sample that I really like, it's going to invoke an emotion from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to bring it out of me.
Right.
And I'll be like, oh, shit, I need to take that down. I need to record that. And then I'm very good at going back to a song that I'm working on,
yeah,
and then feeling the same emotion that I did when I first heard it.
So you're able to pretty much dial that in and then bring it. So it's but it really is both sides. It's something you feel and something you can make. Oh, look at that's interesting.
Yeah.
Does it matter who you're making a beat for, or does it always start out for you with you?
It starts out with me.
Yeah.
But you know, I've have made beats for people. I've made beats in front of people. But normally I just work alone.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I do work with other producers as well. Shout out to Samurai. Shout out to Beat Butcher. That's another guy that I work with. He just did some shit on Rick Ross's last album.
When you're hanging out with those guys and kind of collaborating with them, does that stretch out the attention span? Because you're just kind of hanging.
I force myself to pay attention when I'm working with people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it puts me in check. It definitely puts me in check. But it's like, you know, it's... It can be tough sometimes because, you know, I like to work alone.
Well, yeah, and this seems like a pretty just like personal, like headphones on, kind of zone out kind of experience, I would think.
Yeah, yeah, it's not even headphones. I got speakers.
Oh, okay.
And I just turn those bitches up and I bang out. My neighbors don't care.
Well, speaking it's of banging wonderful. Out, we should probably listen to a little bit of music. Andy, you have something to kick us off with this evening?
Oh, yeah, man, I'll kick us off with something. All right, man, let's kick it off tonight with... a track from a Madison, Wisconsin producer named Englewood. He just put out an album. This album came out a couple of months back. It's called Hotel Wood. And this song is called Steve Harvey featuring Young Gravy.
So today, we're playing for cash. Fast money. What? What is coupon?
Gravy, run the gang. Young Steve Harvey, Rex. Gravy gone through, finesse the thotties out your party. Hey, yeah, I run the game. Young Steve Harvey, Gravy might take you on a bad bitch safari. Gravy run the game. Young Steve Harvey, hey. Pull up on your bitch in my leather on my Harley. Yeah, I run the game. Young Steve Harvey, Gravy stole your bitch. I didn't mean it, and I'm sorry. I think I might go start my own game show. Something like Jerry Springer, but we make it up. Whoa. And you can also get slime. Get a question wrong, it'll happen every time. Hey, I just got up of 11, and we got a bad bitch telling you the weather.
My goodness, Gravy happened.
High chance of ice, frostbit wrist, I don't gotta tell you twice.
Ice.
Wouldn't that be nice? Television show, you don't have to guess the price.
Holy shit.
You just roll some dice and wake up with a bad bitch out in paradise. Gravy run the game, Young Steve Harvey. Gravy come through, finesse the thotties out your party. Yeah, I run the game, Young Steve Harvey. Gravy might take you on a bad bitch safari. Gravy run the game, Young Steve Harvey. Pull up on your bitch in my leather on my Harley. Yeah, I run the game, Young Steve Harvey. Gravy stole your bitch, I didn't mean it and I'm sorry. I run up a check, yo bitch run up some neck. The Gravy show always keeps some thotties on deck. And your girl call me Pumpkin. 360 dunk on your bitch, Tim Duncan's black. If I'm trying to pipe, I just throw on some Family Feud. Get your girl excited, probably hit your granny too. Spice Girls, Ice Girls, all my bitches cool. Fuck around and eat a whole chicken with your boo. Hey, hey, yeah, we out at Famous Dave's. Young Wind Waker, I'm always making waves. Gotta let your mama get that gravy that she craves. Gravy catching hoes like a gully making saves. Gravy run the game, Young Steve Harvey. Gravy come through, finesse the thotties out your party. Yeah, I run the game, Young Steve Harvey. Gravy might take you on a bad bitch safari. Gravy run the game, Young Steve Harvey. Pull up on your bitch in my leather on my Harley. Yeah, I run the game, Young Steve Harvey. Gravy stole your bitch, I didn't mean it and I'm sorry.
Gravy train.
I like
First song that you produced that you were like, I know this is good stuff. I know this is ready for other people. Do you remember that first song you were like, man, I'm doing this for real?
That's a great question. I did a song with this guy, Dane. Y'all heard of Dane? He's from here.
Yeah.
Well, New Orleans. He lives in LA now, but he spent a lot of time here. Fuck, I forgot the song. But that was like the very first song when I moved back up here that came out that I produced. Like that people were actually listening to. You know what I'm saying? But the song that really validated what it validated for me what I that you know, it told me I was doing something right.
Yeah.
I did a song with 50.
Yeah.
I did a song with 50, and crazy thing how that came up. I was sending beats to one of his A&Rs. His name was Tony G. His name is Tony G. He's just not there no more.
Gotcha.
I sent him beats. He's like, yo, these are dope. He got back to me like immediately. I was surprised. He's like, yo, these
like a cold email.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I just sent him beats. He's like, yo, these are dope. I CC'd my boss, Dre McKenzie, also former G-Unit A&R. And then, like, you know, I sent them to him. Didn't really hear back until a year later. And then he's like, yo, do you have anything else for 50? I'm like, yes, I do. So I'm like, sent them more stuff. And then, like, a month after that, they're like, yo. He calls me. He's like, yo, you're on 50's mixtape. It's coming out tomorrow. I'm like, all right, that's tight. You know what I'm saying? I was actually sound checking for a show with my man Casso. I was DJing for him at the time.
When you got this news?
Yeah, that's sound checking.
Fucking dope news to get before a show.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was crazy. That was a great day. And then 6 months later, I did two more songs with 50. One of them ended up being a video, and another being a single.
Wow. That's almost. I mean, it just seems so crazy that could happen just kind of out of the blue.
Right.
Because you're just kind of sending your stuff out into the world, and you're not even, like, face-to-face with these people. You don't know who's in the room listening to it with them. Like, you have no context for how your art is being absorbed. And then it comes back, and it's this huge, like, life-changing moment.
The delay, though, that year in between where you're just like, I wonder what ever happened with that.
Yeah.
That's fucking stressful.
It's so crazy because, like, whenever I send beats out to, like, big and famous people, right? Like, I take it with a grain of salt. I just, like, send them whatever. And I'm like, all right, cool. Back to work.
Yeah. That's all just like, you know, the worst that can happen is nothing, you know?
And
exactly. The best that can happen is this kind of thing. So how did it feel? Like, try to describe for me, like, that's such a huge moment. You were talking about kind of validating all the work you put into this. What does it feel like when someone who reaches out of the blue who's at such a high profile and kind of anoints your work? What changes, I guess? Happens next?
Man, as far as, like, me placing a record, like, I was on cloud nine at that time. Like, that was, like, my first big placement. Like, I had a placement with Chris Calico, too, and that was big, too.
Right.
That was definitely big. Thank you, Cool Nuts. Shout out to him. That's my OG right there.
Yeah.
He made that happen. But, like, when 50's people called me, I was like, holy shit. Like, this is actually happening. I never thought I'd be living here and still working with 50.
Yeah.
Like, I never thought that was possible. And then that happened. I'm like, holy shit. I'm really doing this. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. So, how long did it take before people started reaching out to you after that? Those first couple of songs with 50
came. Not very long.
Yeah.
Not very long, man. It didn't take very long. It's cats mostly from the East Coast hitting me up about beats. You know, there's a lot of bullshit offers. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whatever, whatever. But off of those few songs I did with 50, I've established relationships with cats that I still talk to today. You know, shout out to my man DJ Deadeye from Boston. Or Lawrence, Boston. You know, Lawrence is like the Dominican neighborhood. That's a Terminology's DJ. I was just out in Massachusetts a couple weeks ago, and Friday was the first time I met Deadeye. And, you know, we was kicking it tough. He brought his daughter out to the show. That was dope, man. It was just good people right there. We clicked, like, instantly. Like, how that happened, I think I was kind of reiterating to people on Twitter what I've done.
Yeah.
And I posted the 50 Cent video, right? I was kind of like, you know, on my stunt and shit. And then my man Dart Adams, who's a journalist from Boston, reposted that shit. And then Deadeye was like, yo, this is dope. I'm following you. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. And then we've clicked ever since.
Oh, man. So your network just immediately kind of explodes, and then you could, but you can still have like sort of personal relationships with people. I think that's what's cool about like the beat making community is that everybody's in touch with everybody.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Is it a big pool of people? Like if you're talking about this world of beat makers,
oh yeah,
it's huge. So there's a lot of different like regional sounds. Like, what do people? I guess what people when they're coming to you now when they want a Trox beat, what are they hearing? What are they asking for?
Well, lately they've been asking for some trap shit just because I did a song with Casso called La Brea. Yeah. And that shit is everywhere right now, right? But I don't normally make trap shit.
Right.
Like, that's not me. I don't come from the trap. I'm not from Atlanta.
Do you like trap music?
I do love trap music.
Okay.
I really do.
I feel like it's been really big for a while. There was like the dubstep trap music that got really big for a bit, and now it's back to like... Everybody's rapping over trap music.
That's the glow stick trap music,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's what now is? Now is glow stick trap?
No, that was a while ago. And now it's kind of been back to like every pop hip hop or like top 40 hip hop. It's all trap music, basically, if you listen to it.
So like we've talked about this before, but what defines trap music? Because I'm still a little bit unclear on what makes it trap. Obviously, Atlanta is the roots of it.
It's that tick, tick, boom, dude. It's just a really fast...
808s, bass heavy. Bass heavy.
Yeah.
That makes a trap.
See, I was listening. I know my definition of trap music.
Which
is,
I will defer to. I think you're the person to speak with.
Is shit that was made from cats that was actually in the trap. That was actually in the trap in the South. I'm talking like 3-6 Mafia. I'm talking about T.I. I'm talking Jeezy. I'm talking Gucci Mane. I'm talking like, you know, cats like them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Project Pat.
Oh, Project Pat. I had a Project Pat poster.
Project Pat is the shit.
Awesome.
I love Project Pat. And you could say UGK. You know what I'm saying? They made some trap shit. Absolutely.
Early Juvenile.
So what is it?
Cash Money. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if it's... Okay, so that's a pretty narrow definition. So what is it called now then? What is when some people outside the trap do it, what is it called?
I don't know.
It's like pop music right now.
Just pop music?
Yeah.
People are making pop music with trap drums.
Yeah.
It's what the kids are into.
Yeah.
The kids are listening to.
I'm
not
gonna
listen, Trox. I know you brought some music to play. What's the first song you'd like to hit us up with this evening?
I actually want to go back to the 50 shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a song called New York for 50 Cent. There's a video to it. Peep it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was probably that might be my biggest song right now.
Well, let's check it out. Let's refresh our memories on New York.
Call me 50, yeah, call me Ferrari, call me New York. I am this, my name changed, nigga, I ain't playing games. New York, for short, call me NY. New York, for short, call me NY. You gon' cause my next felony fucking round, I get the Mac blowing. My heart colder than that corner, you get clapped on. The crack gon' show you the barrel, get my jack on. I'm hungry, eating off plates, we backpacks on. Gran Turismo, Mozzie, I just lean back on them. Stack on them, yeah, rack after rack on them. Get a pharmacist, man, song cutting the smack for them. Pop bubble and Yola, I cook that for them. Niggas get in the way, I bang the strap on them. Then line up the wolves and scream attack on them. I'm cool, I'm trying to keep cool till I snap on them. I'm coming for a nigga head when I black on them. 50, yeah, call me Ferrari, call me New York. My alias, my name changed, nigga, I ain't playing games. New York, for sure, call me NY. New York, for sure, call me NY. 50, yeah, call me Ferrari, call me New York. My alias, my name changed, nigga, I ain't playing games. New York, for sure, call me NY. New York, for sure, call me NY. I hate when you niggas do shit to make me ask why. If you the homie, why you wanna go and testify? Why you wanna see a nigga get the chain fry? I grow old in the yard, staring at the sky. Why you hurt your friends more than your enemies? Yeah, why you don't sit and scroll through your memories? Why is the question I ask? Shit was all good when we were splitting up stacks. That shit you told them people got them under a max. Now why would you wanna do some shit like that? When that barrel on your forehead, don't ask why. Shh, quiet. Close your eyes and die. It's 50, yeah, call me Ferrari, call me New York.
I at least my name changed, nigga, I ain't playing games. New York, for sure, call me NY. New York, for sure, call me NY. 50 years, call me Ferrari, call me New York. I at least my name changed, nigga, I ain't playing games. New York, for sure, call me NY. New York, for sure, call me NY.
That beat is amazing.
Thank you, brother.
And it's like, it's crazy to me. I mean, I don't even know how to describe this really, but I'm kind of sitting here in the room with you and I'm listening on the beat that you made. And it's kind of a surreal experience. I can't even imagine how it makes you feel. But at the same time, that is definitely a 50 Cent song. So like, there's something about it that fits perfectly to that artist.
Yeah.
Even though you didn't even know you were creating for that person.
Yeah, that was one of those beats I wasn't really like creating for anybody in particular.
Yeah.
I was just, you know, I found a sample. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm gonna chop this up and I'm going to do it this way. And then I sent it to 50. So some artist tried to buy it from me for like $200. And then he didn't come through. I mean, I wasn't going to take it anyway. But then 50 rapped on it and then made a video out of it.
Yeah. Worth a little bit more than $200 to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, it was really dope, man. Like that was the song that really woke cats up.
Who would be the, like, if you had your sort of your dream list of people to produce for? Who's like the top two or three people that would be on that list?
Ooh, that's a great question, my man.
Thank you.
That is a great question. I actually hate that question. You know why?
That's what people mean when they say it's a good question. They mean I hate that question.
I hate that question because you're forcing me to think a little bit, my man.
That's okay.
But that's you know, we all need to think.
We can
sometimes.
Think out loud. That's certainly
point.
We
can
here.
All think out loud.
Yeah.
Kendrick is definitely one of them.
Interesting.
Kendrick is definitely one of them just because he's my favorite rapper in the game right now. Tough. Anderson .Paak.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Anderson .Paak. That would be wonderful because he's just talented across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And
you could sample his drums.
Oh, shit. That'd be fucking wonderful.
And then he could play the drums live. That would be dope.
He's a hell of a drummer, man.
He really is, dude. That guy puts on an amazing live show. I highly recommend it.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I was there for the Sold Out Fest, right?
Yeah.
Yo, that shit was lit. I wasn't there for his other show at the Crystal. I was kind of pissed off because he did my favorite song.
That free show that he did at the Crystal?
No, me and Nate, dude. Me and Nate went and saw him at the Roseland before he played the Crystal, that Sold Out show.
Yeah, I was
Roseland.
At that one. I was at that
and
one.
That one was so lit, dude. It was so fun. The
Yo,
whole crowd
his
was
crowd
it.
Control was fucking amazing, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never seen the bottom floor just move all in one accord. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that shit is crazy.
And he had BJ the Chicago Kid open, and he came out and sang his song on
The
Mad
Waters.
Lib with him. The Waters.
The Waters, yeah. Mad Lib did that.
That was really good. Oh, that's a Mad Lib track?
That was a Mad Lib track, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, dude.
Well, I'm curious about this because I've noticed with DJs when they're on stage, there's like one of two types. There's the guy who's just kind of, you know, hits it and pulls way back and mm-hmm. real chill. And then there's the guy who's part of the show.
Yeah.
Which camp do you fall into?
I mean, it really depends on who I'm DJing for.
Yeah.
Like if I'm just DJing for somebody that, you know, I don't normally talk to as far like during a mic check.
Right.
When I'm DJing for mic check and I'm playing their songs, I just fall back. Now, if I'm DJing for somebody like Ty Ferris,
right,
or Vinny, like I'm part of the show. I am part of the show, and I've never even done a show with Ty Ferris.
Yeah,
but I've done a project with him, and if he ends up going on tour, guess who's going to be his DJ?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'll be a part of the show. Yeah, it all depends on who I'm DJing for. You know what I'm saying? Like.
What's the difference? Okay, so I know you don't, like, sometimes you don't know these people and you're not really affiliated with what they're doing.
Exactly.
You're just helping to facilitate. And obviously the difference is that you're closer with these other people. But yeah. Was there something, you talk about Ty Ferris, is there something about the two of you on stage that clicks differently than other guys you produce for?
We click in the studio and outside of the studio.
Yeah.
I mean, we click in real life. You know what I'm saying? That dynamic has to exist. For me to do such a thing for them.
Yeah. And then you can kind of feel it on stage.
Exactly.
Get a little wild with it.
See, me and Ty, like, we talk shit all the time. Like, we talk shit about shit all the time, man. That's my guy, man. Shout out to Ty Ferris. Shout out to Detroit, Trick, Royce, everybody that's held us down over there. You know, that's, like, yeah. I've never even been to Detroit. I love Detroit already. You know what I'm saying?
And he's from Michigan.
Yeah.
That's his hometown.
Absolutely.
Marv, Denon, all you guys, man. Holla, man.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of music. I know you brought some more to play. What's another track you'd like to share?
Speaking of Ty Ferris, there's a song off of our project called Room 39. Ty Ferris and myself are Room 39. There's a story behind that. So Room 39 is a building in North Korea where all of, you know, the big wigs in North Korea, they get together and they, like, talk about their secret dealings there. They're talking, like, you know, they're suspecting, like, you know, drug trade and, like, human trafficking and shit. So Room 39 to Ty is, like the deepest place in his head where, you know, all of his thoughts are. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you listen to this album, you're going into Room 39, like the highest level of security of his thoughts.
Oh, I like that.
So we got a song called Where I Live. My favorite song off the album, personally. It's very DJ friendly because, you know, you play this shit, you know. This shit is dope. It's just dope. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, Ty Ferris, Where I Live, produced by myself. Check it out.
Now play with me if you want. Play with me if you want. Play with me if you want. You see the suit tie, you think I clean all the way up like that? Watch me show you some of the old
me. My nigga, I was raised for games. They hang and slang, they don't. I came from the game, they aim and bang. You see the smoke. It's like niggas' brains and chains. We slaves to bang and boast. And it's a shame, I know.
I can smell a sin of death. I can see sweat on my silhouette. The Grim Reaper sending threats. Shadow boxer with demons so I could get respect. Use your imagination. Your closest friends probably dabbing Satan. Probably need Pastor Mason to pass the Patron. I'm getting aggravated. I'm at the greatness and they have to hate it. I'm motivated in the Motor City. Get tire tracks all over your back if you ain't rolling with me. That's why the loser's losing. A ruined student raised with rage where the Ruger's shooting. In the Valley of Silicon but ain't no computers booting. Bitches stripping, sipping lean. What a twisted dream. My raps impact just like crack when it hit the scene. I seen it all through my precious eyes. Hood living helped me catch the vibes. Nigga, step aside. You better check your pride the second that the weapon rise. Where I'm from ain't no second time.
Pray for me. I was raised where the gangsters be. It's like the devil chasing me. He ain't satisfied till he hit his guns aimed at me. I ain't scared, I remain a G. And if you didn't know, this is the way we live. This is the way we live. Where I live. This is the way we live. This is the way we live.
It's like the streets hypnotize my vicious mind, asking God send a sign. Hate to see him trying to eat. Now I'm looking like dinner time. This industry a marathon. I'm just starting to hit my stride. Fuck a hit record behind bars. I'm just a hitman. You rode the wave. Now you wanna be saved out the quicksand. See homies balling out, they spirits looking like the sixth man. Cardi frames is like a passport to heaven gates. It's like a dunk contest. I'm watching souls levitate. Let them hate. Lyrically leather face. Never settle for second place. I elevate. Elephant in the room. You like the cockroach. The block filled with Glock smoke is bubbling like a pot roast. I see Pac's ghosts that'll shock most. But my lyrics summon spirits. They can feel it when I rock shows. Rocky road, but eventually I'll shock the globe. In the ghetto, you can't stop for hoes. They the ones plotting, so
pray for me. I was raised where the gangsters be. It's like the devil chasing me. He ain't satisfied till these haters' guns aimed at me. I ain't scared, I remain a G. And if you didn't know, this is the way we live. This is the way we live. Where I live. This is the way we live. This is the way we live. Where I live.
There was another warning about cocaine today.
Crack now has spread to almost every American city. Spotlight tonight, our investigative series on cocaine kids.
Man, I love that track.
Man, thank you, man.
Awesome.
That album was about 3 years in the making. We went through a lot of bullshit to put that out, man.
What were some of the hiccups?
You know, it was some business. It was some business going on. You know, I can't really speak on it, but there's a lot of, you know, procrastination in the business. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Some of it was our fault. Not a lot of it was ours. But, like, you know, we still worked through it. Like, we still made music even, like, amongst that. You know what I'm saying? And we dropped it on January 30th. And it felt like a huge weight was off of our shoulder. Huge. And now we want to do another one.
Right. You know, so, I mean, that was a great song. Are you proud of the project, even though it took so much to get through?
I am so proud of the project. This is some of my favorite work that I've ever put out. Because I feel like it represents my sound more than most of what I've done. Like, I grew up on the dirty, grimy hip hop. Like, I grew up on that shit. And, like, I like to stay versatile. You know what I'm saying? I do. But that project right there, like, that was just, you know, it's just straight hip hop, you know?
Yeah.
I want to give some background on Ty Ferris. He used to be signed to Big Proof back in the day, mm-hmm. from Detroit. He used to go by the T-Flame. He was a battle rapper. Now he's, you know, he's like learning how to make songs. He was part of this rap group in Detroit called Purple Gang. They were signed to Iron Fist Records. You know, as soon as, you know, Proof died, got murdered, I guess him and the people at Iron Fist weren't really seeing eye to eye. So he left, started battling again, and then he got back into making music just under his government name, Ty Ferris.
Yeah.
And we linked through Twitter.
Nice.
We were kind of talking shit about something. I don't remember what. I was with, it was him, my boy Nascent from Chicago. And then, like, you know, I just jumped in a conversation. And then all of a sudden, Ty follows me. He's like, yo, like, you're dope. Like, send me some beats. I'm like, I listen to him. I'm like, oh, shit, he's pretty dope. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I sent him a bunch of beats. I sent him beats all the fucking time. All the fucking time, man. Because, like, he'll make songs to him. Like, he's working every day. Like, he is in the studio. Like, he ain't got shit else to do. You know what I'm saying?
That's kind of... So, like, he's... Everything you send him, he's basically turning into something.
Pretty much.
He's not saying no to anything.
I mean, he'll say no to some records. But like, you know...
But
like,
by and large, he's working at it.
Oh, he's working. Just, he's working. He's got another project coming out in a couple weeks, actually, called Ramen Noodle Nights. Got production from myself, Thelonious Martin from Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's got some shit from Nascent, The Olympics. There's this dude, Jay Banksy from Australia. I've never even heard of dude.
Dude, but
he's got some of the craziest shit on there.
Australia's got a lot of crazy music going on right now, man. It's awesome.
So, okay, so I'm curious about the career aspect for you. I mean, it sounds like you just meeting great people and good artists, and you just like sending them your stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you're just getting it out there. Is there any sort of like consciousness to how you're kind of building yourself professionally?
Absolutely.
Are you doing things more intentionally now, and how has that evolved? You know, since you kind of broke out a little bit.
Absolutely. Like, you know, I've kind of limited myself to who I send beats to. Like, I've kind of limited the number of who I send beats to now. I try and keep my circle small.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point now where I'm just looking to make bread, not necessarily off of just, you know, sending music and making music, but as an entity. Can't really talk about it too much, but I found probably a couple ways for myself to make money comfortably,
mm-hmm.
that'll allow me to make the music that I want to make instead of making music just to make a hit.
Interesting. So the goal is always, like, ultimately, you want to be comfortable and successful so you can take the kind of artistic chances you want to take.
Absolutely.
And have that freedom.
Like, I look at somebody like Alchemist. Alchemist has made hits, of course. But he's made music. He's made the music he wants to make his entire career. Like, people go to him for his sound. Mm-hmm. He doesn't chase anybody. I don't want to have to chase anybody my entire career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm tired of doing that industry bullshit. Like, I want people to come to me. I don't want to just chase people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That means I have to do some branding. And I've been doing some branding. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing the whole, like, live Facebook shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I got a little logo, you know what I'm saying, with the motherfucking skull and the beard and shit. Right. Shout out to Zach Shooter, by the way. He does a lot of shit for, like,
that
Nike.
That is a super
shit.
Cool logo.
Yeah,
thank
it's fantastic.
You. Thank you. My man Todd Richardson from Yanagita Projects plugged me with that. Like, yo, that was a game changer for me. I put that shit on my laptop. I'm like, yo, that's my motherfucking brand.
Yeah,
now.
I was at the last mic check and I saw that, and my buddy pointed out, it's like, is that him on his own gear? And I was like, yeah, that is.
Yeah, man. Zach Shooter made that, man. Yeah, shout out to him, man. I've never even met dude. I've never even talked to dude, but you know, Todd made that connection happen, and man, he came up with the craziest shit ever.
Is it strange to have to sort of make yourself into a product? Is there like something in the mentality of that? I mean, it seems odd to me, but not in a bad way. It just seems like it would be a change. It's something you have to kind of build yourself as a character almost.
It is a
Does
little,
it feel like that at all?
It is a little bit of a change. It is a little bit of a change, but at the same time, you get used to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? People are going to think you're Hollywood, though. People are definitely going to think you're Hollywood because
you're putting in a little effort.
You're putting in a little effort and you're like self-conscious of what you represent.
Yeah.
And what you post, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, you
that
curate yourself.
Yeah,
a little
yeah.
Bit.
You have to curate yourself a little bit. And I mean, I'm not sorry for that.
No, not at all. That's kind of the way that you do things. I mean, that's the way that this works. Is that's what it means to put forward a specific image and to be identified in a specific way by someone who doesn't know you.
Exactly.
Because it's one thing, you know. You ultimately want to do something that is meaningful to you, and you find someone out there in the world that connects with that.
Absolutely.
And that's what that conversation is really about. But mm-hmm. in the meantime, there are a lot of people who, you know, you can benefit from who don't have that exact emotional feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's the reason why for our show, I've been living our brand hard again.
You have.
And even though I'm supposed to be on this diet and being good, I've been really digging into some Taco Bell.
You've been back to Taco Bell.
Tonight I ate a burrito from a cart and I supersized Supreme'd it, which makes it twice the length of
Hell
a regular
yeah,
burrito.
That's
so
how you do it.
It's two burritos long.
Yeah.
And I went in hard.
You are like
garbage.
The Trox of this show. You yeah. are living your brand.
I was.
Hell yeah, man. That's what you got to do, man. You got to get the motherfucking. Yeah, what kind of burrito did you get, man?
Barbacoa.
A barbacoa?
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, you did the right thing, bro.
Is that just some steak, barbacoa?
It's a braised red meat.
Oh.
It's like a shredded beef in red sauce.
Oof.
That's real good.
Oof.
It's from this cart on, oh man, I forget the name of it right now, but it's on like 40th and Division in a parking lot.
Good plug.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's real good. Yeah. They have a dining room that is inside of a Tough Shed, and you open it up and there's like a nice dining area in there with like chandelier and like it's pretty nice in there. I was like, oh, that's funny, they have the dining in there, and I was like, I would totally eat in that shed.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Well, if only we could think of their name, we could give them a proper plug.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, let's play a little bit of music. What do you got?
Yeah, I got a little bit of music from London right now. This DJ by the name of, what the fuck is his name? Flacco. F-L-A-K-O.
He's dope. I fuck with Flacco.
He put out this album called Nature Boy back in like 2015.
Yeah, that's
and
a
they
dope
just kind of put it out. It just showed up on Bandcamp, and holy shit, it's good. Yeah, man. This song's called Shipibo Ikaro.
Thank you.
Tracks, you down to play a little game with us this evening?
Yeah, let's game on. Let's go.
This one doesn't have a name, but Andy's got a list of things that are either DJs and beat makers from Bandcamp.
Producers I found on Bandcamp, or mostly under the hashtag Beats for Sale.
Oh shit!
Or these are going to be strains of weed, and you and I are going to have to try to figure out which is which.
Oh shit! This is going to be a wonderful game. I like this.
All right, Andy, what's our
first? Start with the first one.
Our first choice.
First one is Honey Rock.
Oh damn! That's the perfect way to start because that could very easily.
Yeah, that one fucked me up because that could be either or.
I would love to smoke some Honey Rock, but I can also believe that it's some kind of like all white wearing club DJ from New Jersey. So I'm going to go DJ.
I'm going to go with DJ, a female DJ.
Female, okay.
That sounds like a female DJ.
It could be
to
a female DJ. But in this case, this is a strain of weed I found on leafly.com.
Damn, Honey Rock is a beautiful producer.
Honey
name.
Rock sounds very potent.
Yeah.
It like does. That sounds like a moon rock.
It does.
Yeah, okay, that moon rock is like some crack.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely wanted it to be a producer, but I'll live with it being a strain. Okay. What's the next one?
All right. Let's see here. Let's go Dank Sinatra.
That's a producer for sure.
Yeah, that's got to be.
That's a strain of weed I found on Leafly.
The fuck?
Oh, man.
Wow. Oh,
I thought it was too obvious. All right, Dank Sinatra.
All right. Here we go.
By the way, what's wrong with producers that they haven't figured these names out?
There probably is a producer with this name, but I did not find him in Bandcamp under this hashtag.
Damn.
Okay. All right. What's the third one?
Ed Bundy.
Well, I'm certain that's a producer, but I want that to be a strain of weed. I really wanted to be a strain of weed.
Like I feel the same way. You know what I'm saying? Because if anybody, if anybody names themselves after Ted Bundy, yeah. I would have to question your sanity.
It's a strain of weed that will kill you.
No, it's Ed Bundy, like from,
Ed Bundy
from Married with Children.
Oh, I didn't even think about
not
that.
Not Ted Bundy, like
I was
the murderer.
Thinking Ted
See,
Bundy.
I've never even watched Married with Children.
I haven't
so
either.
Oh wait, never mind. That's Al Bundy.
Al Bundy. So Ed Bundy is reminiscent of Ted Bundy.
Yeah,
strain of weed.
And Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy was a husky. I will never, ever, ever let people forget that.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
When I lived in Seattle, I went to a Halloween party at his old house when I lived there.
Wow, that must have been scary.
Did you kill pretty somebody? Creepy. I didn't kill anybody that night.
Well, that's good.
I'm sticking to that story.
Producer.
Okay, what is it? I'm voting with my heart, and I want strain of weed.
That's a producer from the UK who has a couple of holiday-themed beat tapes out, if you want something. It's called OG Yule Year.
He's got an Armistice Day tape, and he's got, oddly, an American Flag Day
tape. A Yule
OG.
You can pick that up.
What's the next one, Andy? What's number four?
Okay, number four. Let's see. Easy Cereal.
Oh, man. That one's tripping me up a little bit, too. I'm going to go producer.
I'm going to go strain of weed.
That's a producer from Georgia.
Ah.
Statesboro.
What is it again?
Easy Cereal.
Easy Cereal. That's a terrible strain of weed name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you never know, man. The people come up with some terrible names for that shit all the time.
They do. Okay. Here we go.
Yo, I'm smoking that donkey dick, bro.
Real good
all day
dick.
On that DD.
Oh, this donkey dick will make a joke.
Man, I lost a weekend to that donkey dick, bro.
Time travel. Okay, here we go. Skittles. That's Skittles with Z's at the end.
That's a producer name.
Yeah,
sure.
I'll go producer.
That's some sweet ass weed.
we are fucking terrible at this.
You're tied at
this is embarrassing for you, Josh. This is your world.
God
you should be able to sniff
it,
these things out.
All right.
Oh, man. We got time. Let's go two more. You have two more?
Yep.
Okay.
Top Shotta.
That's a strain of weed. That could be a producer, too.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a numerous producers named Top Shotta, but I'm going to go with a strain of weed.
I'm going producer.
This is a producer from Israel.
Damn, Top Shotta.
Yeah, man.
I think that's the only one we've gotten right. Okay, take us on, Andy.
Okay,
what's the last
one? One more. Erpel Eeple.
Strain of weed.
Strain of weed.
Oh, that's a future based producer from Oakland.
Wow.
So Erpel
Eeple.
Erpel Eeple.
Okay. Hey, you know what? You know, he should brand himself and make that a strain of weed, though.
He probably has. Yeah.
These should all be co-branded. Oakland. They should all be both.
Top Shotta Kush.
Did you bring some more music?
I did. I brought one more song.
Let's check that one out. What's the third one you'd like to play?
So it's a song I did with Vinny DeWayne.
Excellent.
You guys rock with Vinny Duane?
Yeah, I love
Vinny Duane. Vinny Duane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a very interesting person. I've known him. I've got to know him on a personal level for the last couple of years now. He's a very interesting person. He's back and forth from here to Chicago. Very smart guy. He's wild, but he's a very smart guy. It's a song called Henny and Jameson. I did it, of course. I actually did like 80% of his last project called Duality.
Yeah.
The other song was done by them people. Yeah, run that.
Yeah. If you ain't got your plan for the next 5 years, you in the same boat as me, nigga, have no fear. Expectations, they see me as that young scholar. Can you imagine me being a plug on the west, send a pack to Chicago? Imagine my demons dancing on my collarbone. They got the microphone, they want to sound check. They want to make it known that they can take control over my destiny. The homies with me got the loaded clip. They want to shoot out with niggas who they funkin' with. I can't stop this shit. It's family related, my CBC niggas, my people is gangsta. I move on my own, so I fell out with me when I fell out with wrong. I still let that nigga put that on my soul. Still let that nigga put that on my soul. Sometimes niggas grow apart. The phone in my arch is straight for my dark. My mind on this paper, I gotta get money. I came up from nothing, that's praise to Allah. That's praise to Jehovah. My mind going wicked, it's hard to stay sober. I'm drinking, I'm smoking. I'm taking these pills and I'm loaded. I put a wall up, I got Trump on my shoulder. These bitches is calling me over. I'm cold to the one that was closest. Cold to the one that was closest. Don't cut me off yet. I mix Jameson with that Hennessy, but don't cut me off yet. I got a main bitch, I got a side bitch, don't cut me off yet. I've been distant from my family, but don't cut me off. Don't cut me off yet. Don't cut me off yet. I mix Jameson with that Hennessy, but don't cut me off yet. I got a main bitch, I got a side bitch, don't cut me off yet. I've been distant from my family, but don't cut me off. Don't cut me off yet. My mama been sick. I hop out the lift and I walk in the hospital. Elevator doors, praying my prayers don't stop on this floor. I don't be calling enough. I just be caught in the mix. I'm balancing drinking and smoking and fucking these women and working with kids and I can't be a role model, y'all. I'm behind the wheel and I'm on one, y'all. Don't give up, no free lunch. Get it on your own, that's the 40th law. I do this for G, do this for niggas. I lost in the pen, lost in the wind, lost in the lines on the table. I'm misunderstood, but I find something greater, dear God. Don't cut me off yet. I mix Jameson with that Hennessy, but don't cut me off yet. I got a main bitch, I got a side bitch, don't cut me off yet. I've been distant from my family, but don't cut me off. Don't cut me off yet. Don't cut me off yet. I mix Jameson with that Hennessy, but don't cut me off yet. I got a main bitch, I got a side bitch, don't cut me off yet. I've been distant from my family, but don't cut me off. Don't cut me off yet. Don't cut me off yet. Don't cut me off yet. I mix Jameson with that Hennessy, but don't cut me off yet. I got a main bitch, I got a side bitch, don't cut me off yet. I've been distant from my family, but don't cut me off. Don't cut me off yet. Don't cut me off yet. I mix Jameson with that Hennessy, but don't cut me off yet. I got a main bitch, I got a side bitch, don't cut me off yet. I've been distant from my family, but don't cut me off. Don't cut me off yet.
Talking a little bit about this branding thing, I want to follow up a little bit as you've been kind of like dipping a toe in that water and figuring out how to plan it out for yourself.
Yeah,
like is it working? Like are people seeing you in a certain way in the way that you want to be seen? Like, do you feel like you have some control over that and people are responding to it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I feel like just, you know, taking control of my image and how people look at me, it's been working, you know what I'm saying? But I don't think I've fully harnessed that yet. I don't think I've used that to its full potential. Like, I feel like I'm still in the chase mode, you know what I'm saying? But I don't want to be in the chase mode. Like, I'm slowly getting out of chase mode and now I'm in build mode. Like, I'm doing these records with Ty. I'm doing these records with Vinny. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. All that extra shit, all that major label placement shit, that's just, that shit is extra to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm making more of a name for myself with these records that I'm putting out with Ty and Vinny and people like them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like people are... Like, I have people coming up to me talking to me about, oh, those records with Ty, those records with Vinny. Oh, man, that's so dope, man. You just got a new fan. And then, like, a couple weeks later, they were like, yo, I didn't know you did records with 50.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, like.
So people are starting to come at it the way that you hope they would. They're not coming at it from some third source. They're coming straight from.
That's cool.
From where you're creating. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's like the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you could, you could chase placements, and if you're real good at it, and first of all, it's a fucking lottery.
Right.
It truly is a lottery. It's like going into the NBA. It even worse than that. Because there's more people doing what you're doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because it doesn't really take a lot of athletic talent to make music. But the chances of that happening are slim to none, even with the internet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's all a lottery. It's like, it's all about when you send the records. Mm-hmm. What's the mentality of the artist? Like, can you hear these records with these artists?
Yeah.
Does the A&R even check the email?
Right.
Like, you have to factor all of that in there, even if those line up.
Right.
It's a chance that it's still not going to make
it. So you're just taking control of the things that are within your control now.
Exactly.
Basically.
Exactly. I used to be a placement chaser, and now I'm like, no, you know what? No, I'm going to build my empire. Like, I'm going to put these instrumental projects out. I'm going to put these records out with Ty and Vinny. I'm going to make this merch. Like, I'm going to make my own money.
Nice, dude. I'm curious about ego, because, you know, obviously creating something that you're proud of is an important part of it, but how important is it that you're recognized, and what kind of recognition means the most to you?
Really, the only recognition that I actually care about is when like-minded people, like people I respect, come up to me and say, yo, you're dope. I also care about, you know, regular fans that come up to me and, you know, be like, yo, you're dope. Like, right. You have a new fan. Like, I appreciate all of that. And as far as, like, you know, me being, oh, some kind of superstar, oh, I'm another Kanye West, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. I want to live just, like, a nice, comfortable life with a brand of some sort. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to take myself too seriously.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not a rapper. Like, branding for producers is way different than branding for rappers. Because rappers, you know what I'm saying, they're in front of the camera all the time. Us, we don't have to be in front of the camera all the time.
Right.
You can choose to, but you don't have to. I just want my brand to be based on good music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's solid. I got a question.
What's up, man?
Are you a Jordan fan? Do you like Jordans?
I love Jordans.
What's your favorite Jordans?
Well, I'm rocking the 8s right now.
I got it. Those are dope, dude. I'm a big fan of the Royal 1s.
I like the Olympic 5s. The OG ones.
Yeah.
The ones with the 23 on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those. I like those.
I just love 1s, dude. The breads. The black and red ones.
Yeah, I like those. I like those really a lot. Great. But my favorite Jordan of all time are the 10s.
The 10s,
yeah, they're very underrated because I feel like they're comfortable. They're so comfortable. I had the Stealths back in the day.
What was the Stealth? What was it?
The all black one.
Okay, yeah.
The all black one with like the gray and white sole.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? With the stripes and shit.
Yes, my friend had those when we played basketball together, and those are awesome, dude.
Yeah, so I had those, and I like relaced them like super loose, right? And it was the most comfortable shoe I've ever had in my life.
Nice.
Like, even more so than, like, a Rocher Run or, like, a Flyknit. I thought those were so comfortable. I need heavy shoes.
Yeah.
I need heavy shoes. I can't do light shoes.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Shoes either. How about you, Drew? Do you ever rock Jordans?
No, I really wanted to. I wanted to so badly when I was a kid, but I was not allowed to have them. They were
Why weren't you allowed to have them? Because they were too expensive.
They were expensive. Yeah, it wasn't like I couldn't have them if I. If
your dad hated Michael Jordan. He was a big Larry Bird fan.
No,
he said, fuck that Michael.
You
Jordan.
You know, if I'd had like when they were coming out, would be like $100 or something, which now seems like average. But back then, I was like, man, $100. It seemed like an impossible amount of money.
Inflation is a bitch.
I know. Mm-hmm. So I never got on the road. And so I sort of lost track. Like, you guys are talking about these, and I know what you mean, but I do not know which shoes you're describing.
Hey, man, they bought you the Shaqs. They bought you the Shaqs,
they
right?
They bought me the Patrick Ewings,
the They bought you the Patrick Ewings. They bought you the Patrick Ewings, and they were like, well, they look like Jordans, so you have them.
I was actually pretty happy with them. I went to Catholic school at this time, so I had to wear uniforms, and the only thing we could pick of our own was our shoes. And so
and
it would have been like
dope
really
Ewing.
Yes, I had some dope Ewings.
Those LA gear.
But I probably would have been beaten up and robbed for my fancy Jordans at this time because that was the thing, like you just like dress like a Catholic school kid and you've got these at the time very expensive shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So my Ewings probably spared me.
Yeah, I kind of was in the same boat. I really wanted some Jordans and my parents talked me into buying these other Nikes that had air cushions, dude. But they turned out to be just normal track shoes.
Were they the Air Dads, bro?
Yeah, they basically were.
The Air Monarchs?
Yeah. They were Air Maxes, but they were like running shoes.
Oh,
they
shit.
They were weak.
The Nike Shocks, bro?
Yeah. I wish. They were the BK Catapults.
See, in high school, I was a big Air Force One guy.
Yeah.
I loved Air Ones. Mm-hmm. Like, I would always rock the fresh all-white lows and the mid-top black ones.
Those are really nice.
Those were crazy. That was like that was when people were still wearing tall tees back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like tall tees with the super baggy jeans and shit. Mm-hmm. Like everybody was acting like they were dressing like they were from Houston.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Top to bottom gear.
Yeah, they had the fake
Portland
ass grills
people.
And shit. Like, yeah. what was that song? Let me see your grill. That Nelly joint, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was Nelly with like Paul Wall and shit.
Mm.
And like everybody was rocking. Everybody was dressing like Paul Wall back in Eugene.
Yeah.
This was a good time. This is a good era.
This
was
a great
fashion.
Time. This is a great time. This is when Lil Jon was king, bro.
Mm.
Like,
oh,
yo.
Yeah. I remember going out and buying some 60-inch waist jeans and rocking
shit.
Those shits in like sixth grade. Oh, that was amazing.
Were they Gerbods? Were they like
no?
Kelly
these
colors?
Were from this place called Max 10, where everything in the store was $10 or less.
Oh shit!
Yeah, they did not
fit
like a nice pair.
That's
of
That's a brand, Max 10.
Yeah,
you know what you're getting with Max 10.
Max 10 was basically like what Gen X is here, but everything was $10.
Nice.
A lot of like hand printed shirts and like knockoff brands.
Did they have like New Era caps that were $10?
Yeah, they did. They had
no fucking way.
Not like real ones.
They're fake.
They look like it. Yeah. And then they had a bunch of them that looked cool, but like if they got wet, they never were the same. You know, that
of course.
Kind of thing. They just like the printing on them was
like everything
like,
in the store.
And I'm sure it rains in Michigan too.
Oh, it snows. It rains. You get every little bit of weather.
Fuck.
Yeah. Tornadoes, lightning storms.
Yo, you rock that shit in the club and you get sweaty and shit. Oh my God. That's going to look so bad after you leave.
So all
your
shirt
just running
just
down
right off of you like a hot cupcake.
Yo, what is it like a pink Detroit Lions fitted cap, bro? A fake one, like a bootleg New Era cap.
The breast cancer awareness month hat.
Oh shit! Did they even make those back in those days?
In the February, yeah.
Oh shit!
A February hat. Oh man.
Oh man. And then you rock that in the club, and then you look like a cupcake.
Yeah.
Because it's melting on you and shit.
Yeah, your whole forehead is pink at the end of the night.
One of those hats that's made out of, like, that paper material they used to make camel jackets out of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
These were good times. You used to be able to get some hats.
Mm.
You rock, like, a tall white tee with that, too.
Well, Trox, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Oh, man,
really appreciate
course.
It. Yeah. What's the best way for people to keep track of what you're up to and follow what's going on in your world?
The best way to keep track of me, Twitter, @IamTrox. Instagram, IamTrox. Facebook, Trox. SoundCloud, Trox Diesel.
I like that one.
Yeah. And then smallhandsbigslaps.com.
Very nice.
Fantastic. Definitely worth the follow. You're doing stuff all the time, but
make sure you check
you.
Mic check.
Yeah, people
month,
can see
yeah.
it. Mic
yes,
check
please.
Every month. Last
every
Thursday.
Last Thursday, every
and
month.
This,
at White
and
Eagle.
This will be out hopefully before the 1 year anniversary featuring Vinny DeWayne. It's going to be amazing. And a bunch of other really good cats who are going to be there.
Yeah, Vinny
it's
DeWayne.
It's always a fun show.
Vinny DeWayne, Adverse Effects, These Blacks, Theory Has It, John Bells, Mr. Dane. It's going to be a wonderful show. I really yeah. hope all you guys that are listening makes it out for that, because it's going to be it's going to be great. I can't even believe it's a year already. Shout out to Star Child for giving me the opportunity. Yep. Shout out to DJ Cliff. Shout out to Renee Lopez, the whole family.
Absolutely.
Shout out to everybody that's been going to the show. It's more than appreciated. I thank you.
It's a really good time, and that's become one of those shows I can't miss. I make sure I hit that every month.
Yep.
It's always a great lineup and a really good show. So make sure you check that out.
And be sure to follow Chalks at all of those places. Definitely worth your time. Chalks, thanks again. We really appreciate you being here, man.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. And thank all of you for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. We hope you liked it, and we hope you tell a friend all about it. Spread the love for us. It means a lot to have your support. If you'd like to check out this episode and others like it, a new episode comes out every Thursday, and the easiest way is just to subscribe to the show on iTunes or your podcast distributor of choice. You can also reach out to Andy, Nate, and I directly at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's HAUTE garbagepodcast@gmail.com. Andy, take us home.
All right. Man, this is another band from Australia that's just killing it right now. This is just some, like, authentic, like, Stax era Motown soul coming out of Australia from some 20-something white dudes.
Excellent.
They're called the Teskey Brothers, brothers Sam and Josh Teskey. They're from Melbourne. It's just, or is it Melbourne?
You tell me.
Melbourne. Yeah. That's what Melbourne. That's how they like to say it.
Yeah. This is off of their new album called Half Mile Harvest, and this song's called Pain and Misery, and man, this shit is great.
Fantastic. Well, for Trox, for Nate, for Andy, this is Drew. We'll see you next week on Hot Garbage.
No, it's true. Once since that day I first laid my eyes on you. Love is a crazy game, baby. It's how I feel. I make you want so high that it takes so long to heal. Sometimes I cursed that day when you came along. I was happy, but it's been pain now for so very long. Oh, I'm begging you, honey, please, won't you stay? 'Cause I've been so lonely since you've gone away. Every day is pain. In the end, it's hard to see. Every painful day is all so sad. Now that I've lost the best friend that I've ever had. Thank you. you gone, it's a pain of misery. Oh, now please, oh, please, won't you stay with me? Cause since you gone, it's pain of misery. Hey, I'm begging you, honey. Just so bad.